This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Clouds so swift, the rain won't live. Gate won't close, the railings froze. Get your minds off winter time. You ain't going nowhere. Ooh-wee, red me high. Tomorrow's the day my bride's gonna come.
Hi, Laura Hurwitz here, and welcome to the Easy Chair. Today I have a super special guest, my daughter Rachel, Rachel Hurwitz. Rach, up from North Carolina.
Hi, how are you?
I am good. And last time we had you on the podcast, you were on with your bandmates, Pippa and Katie, right. And you were looking forward to starting your Kickstarter to get your album going,
right? That's right.
And you made the money that you needed, and you finished the album pretty much, haven't you?
Pretty much. We just still have to go in and edit. Well, we don't have to edit. Our sound engineer has to edit, and we usually sit in with him while he does that, and then he masters it, and then we have to get them printed, and most of the hard work is done.
That is so cool. And I know you said you anticipate it'll be coming out like sometime next spring. Is that?
Yes. I think probably April. Late April is my guess.
A lot of people cannot wait. And I know you have a single coming out even sooner than that, right?
That's right.
What song is the single?
It is our song, Undecided. And that's actually the title. It's not that we haven't decided on the title. The title is Undecided.
Wow. Okay. Have I heard that?
I'm not sure.
I don't believe I have.
Yeah. I don't think anyone has heard it other than the band and the people who recorded it and mixed it.
That is so cool. So it's sort of like a little secret.
Yes. It's like a secret song.
I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. That's going to be coming out on January 24th.
So probably by the time this podcast comes out, it'll be around a month away from the release. So,
yep. Yeah.
And how is that distributed?
That's just going to be digital, but it'll be on all the streaming platforms like Spotify and iTunes and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else there is. SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Apple. Apple Music.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I will keep everyone, all you listeners out there, apprised of that situation. When it comes out, I'm definitely going to be like, you know, putting it out there too. Rachel, one thing I was kind of interested in was, what were some things along the way to making the album is called Midnight Morning,
mm-hmm.
right? What were some of the things along the way that either surprised you because they were more difficult than you thought they would be, or just kind of more fun and exciting and interesting? And you can start with the difficulty first. We'll start with the glass half empty first.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So I think it was kind of funny. Going into the studio this time, the second time around, it was so nice. It was like coming back home because it just feels so familiar to us. And we've gotten to know the sound engineer at the Rubber Room in Chapel Hill.
And what's his name?
His name is Jerry Brown.
Okay.
And he's the best. But I always get really nervous to record my lead vocals and guitar parts. And so I practiced a lot for all of those. And I was just anticipating it. I was really nervous. But then when I got into the studio, it went really well. So I guess that was kind of what went better than I expected. And then going into the studio to record harmonies, just like little like ooh parts and mm-mm parts. I thought those would be so easy because they seem like they would be, right?
Yeah, you would think.
You would think, but I had a really hard time with those for some reason, so.
Was it just hard to break? Did you have to just do ooh-ooh or mm-mm on your, like, sort of freely without, like, it wasn't like the rest of the track was being recorded, so it was just kind of doing that in isolation? Or did you sing the whole song?
No, yeah, you're right. It was sort of an isolation. I had the rest of the track playing, though, so that was helpful. But it's still, for some reason, I think because it was such a simple part, and I was just like this is so easy to not screw up, but then it was easy to screw up, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, it should be so easy, but it wasn't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that actually makes perfect sense. Along the way, along the time that you were doing the album, did you still have performances that you were doing? You still had other musical obligations?
Yes, we did, because what we've been doing is recording over the last whole, like, year, pretty much. So we will go into the studio for, like, 3 or 4 days at a time. We went in February, and then we went again in, I want to say, like, sometime over the summer, maybe July or something. And then we went again in October and again in November. So it's always during times when we have other things going on, like shows.
Right. So it's not like you can say, I'm going to take these 3 months off to make this. It's like a more protracted, and there's other stuff in the way.
Right.
Okay. That really is challenging. That truly is.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of nice, though, to have other things going on, because sometimes when you get too focused on something, it makes it more difficult, if that makes sense.
You're right. You've got too much awareness, and it makes you nervous almost, you know, that you're going to screw it up. You just have too much time to think about it or overthink.
Overthink.
Yep. Overthink, which is something you and I are both famous for.
Yep.
Overthinking. Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question, and I know this is going to be a little bit of a blindside question.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know. It's nerve-wracking when your mom asks you a question that you're not expecting on a podcast. It's scary. It is scary. I'm going to jump in here with a quick word from this week's sponsor, Tell Me a Story Season 2. Created by Kevin Williamson, Tell Me a Story takes the world's most well-known fairy tales and reimagines them as dark and twisted psychological thrillers. Exploring an entirely new set of characters, this new season features three legendary stories, Beauty and the Beast, Sleeping Beauty, and Cinderella, like you've never seen them before. Tell Me a Story follows one family who's at the heart of the series. Carrie Ann Moss is the matriarch of the Pruitt family, and all the stories are wrapped around her family's lives. The new season of Tell Me a Story is now streaming exclusively on CBS All Access. Also, in addition to Paul Wesley, Danielle Campbell, who was in the originals, and Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix and Jessica Jones, the stellar cast includes Garcelle Bouvet, Odette Annabelle, Ika Darvel, Matt Loria, Natalie Allen Lind, and Ashley Matakawa. Sign up today for CBS All Access by visiting cbs.com/easychair. There, you can get your first week of CBS All Access for free and stream the new season of Tell Me a Story on Thursday. That's cbs.com/easychair to get your first week of CBS All Access free. And now, back to the podcast. What in your childhood, like, what about growing up Rachel Leah Hurwitz, do you feel is the thing that informs your music the most?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I know a lot of your songs are about your siblings or you know, about memories that you have. Can you think of something that you go back to as just kind of a theme?
Wow.
That's felt most resonant or relevant?
Yeah. So that's a tough question. And it's a good question.
Thank you. And you can
take an excellent question.
You can take as much time to think about that, because I have the power of editing long periods of silence.
Right. Well, when I think about, like, childhood influencing songs, I think a lot about my song Smallest Grains of Sand. And it's about, like, childhood and, in general, moments passing you by and just things going by too quickly. And it's kind of about how I will dwell in the past or...
But I know it's sort of the concept of dwelling in the past, but then the future seems rushing toward you so fast, or you're so aware of time passing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And it's what I've always done, even though it seems kind of like something that I do as an adult, but I think I've always done it. Even when I was younger, I would kind of dwell in the past, but then the future is right in front of you and time is going by so quickly. And I think especially getting to this age, like now being 30, it just feels like, and like trying to accomplish my dreams and like get further in music, it just feels like time is just like going by so quickly.
Yeah. Good answer.
The years are slipping through my hands like the smallest grains of sand. That's
and
that's
that
a lyric
is,
from the song.
That is one beautiful lyric. I love the lyrics of that song. I really do.
Thank you.
Do you think that being one of so many kids makes you sort of better equipped in any way to kind of handle the stress of being a musician? Or do you think it doesn't actually have any impact at all? Because sometimes, I don't know, I just kind of wonder. I mean, birth order-wise, you're the third of six kids. You're kind of like a middle kid.
Right.
Like, in a way.
Right.
And everyone in the family is very different. Like, we don't have a family that's kind of cookie-cutter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not like the Partridge Family where we can all sing, you know? It's more like that's your superpower thing, and it has always been. But what's it like just kind of like finding your way in the constellation of your siblings?
Oh, wow, that's a good question too.
Yeah,
I like just, these.
Yeah, it's like this is fun. I like this very freewheeling.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what When the Darkness Comes is about too. It's like, even though I'm on this path that is really on my own, you know, compared to my siblings, I still feel like they're all with me and they're all a part of it. And I feel like we're all doing things that are, you know, we're all following our passions and trying to accomplish our dreams. And so even though it's not the same, it still feels like we relate to each other so much in that way. And like we're together on our own paths, if that makes sense.
It totally does. And it really does. And that is one thing I would say about all six of you as my kids. It's like you're on your own missions, but you have this like seriousness of purpose. And I mean, you still have fun, you still have joyful lives, and you do things other than work, but you're always thinking about this thing you do that's kind of like your calling or the thing you are really your dream, you know,
yeah.
that you are trying to follow. So that's extremely cool.
Thanks, Mom.
Sure. Last question. I'm gonna, and it involves you telling a little bit of a story. Can you tell a story about growing up, a family story, a story about you in the family setting where you had some either misadventure or adventure or something that just sort of maybe would tell people a little bit about family dynamics and your childhood?
Interesting. I don't know why I'm only thinking of these like very embarrassing stories.
They say that those are the things that stick with you. Seriously. Like you will remember that you threw up in first grade, but you'll forget that you won the fourth grade spelling bee. That's just the way brains work.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I was going to tell this. I don't know why I'm thinking of the toilet paper, choking on toilet paper story. I don't know if I want to tell it.
I think it's funny to tell.
Okay. So this is the story about the toilet paper. Do you remember how old I was, Mom?
Oh, my God. Okay. This is a particularly disgusting and wonderful story, but
it's
you were
so
around
gross.
18 months old, I think.
18 months. Okay. And how old was Hannah?
Hannah was around 7.
7 years old. Okay. So anyways, I was 18 months, and so were Sarah and Eliza, since we are triplets. Micah wasn't born yet, so
right.
He's not part of the story.
Right.
Jake was, I don't know where Jake was at this point.
Yeah, I think, you know, Jake had a tendency to just sort of like be places where other people were not getting into some kind of trouble on his own.
That's true.
Yeah, so I think like I remember this day and I remember this story like it happened yesterday, but I was cooking dinner. I do know that. So
okay.
I was distracted.
So yeah, you were cooking dinner in the kitchen, not too far away, but you were not aware of what was going on. And what was going on was Eliza was getting toilet paper, dipping it into the toilet, and sucking on it. it's so gross.
It is
but,
so gross.
And this is sort of like the family dynamic thing is I would always copy whatever Eliza was doing. I would just want to do it too. And so with that in mind, I went and I took the toilet paper too and dipped it in the toilet and sucked on it. But I thought that she was also swallowing it. So I tried to do that. And then, of course, it was toilet paper. It was soggy toilet paper. And I started choking on it.
This is so horrifying. It's horrifying on so many levels. I mean, horrifying, terrifying for you to be in this situation. Horrifying to think that me as a mom could be like completely oblivious. And it let 18-month-old kids into a bathroom with a raised toilet lid. Like, I mean, what was I thinking? But sorry, I don't mean to insert myself in your story. It gets weirder.
So I was there choking. I don't know where Sarah was at this point. She was probably also hanging out in the bathroom, but she couldn't do very much to help me because she was also 18 months. And then Hannah, luckily, was around, and she came in and she gave me the Heimlich maneuver and saved my life.
Hannah saved Rachel's life from choking on wet toilet paper. And that television show Rescue 911 with William Shatner was very important to Hannah. She watched it religiously every week. So that's where she learned the Heimlich maneuver. Like, she didn't learn it from me.
It's amazing.
I know.
She was just waiting for her opportunity.
She totally was. And I almost felt like writing into Rescue 911, but that would mean like outing myself as like such a completely neglectful mom. And also, it was disgusting. Like, there would not be a reenactment. No reenactment of an 18-month-old kid sucking on toilet paper and trying to swallow it. Okay. Rachel, this has been so much fun. I really, really was dying to have you on the show. I'm really happy that you came up for Thanksgiving.
Me too.
So we got to do this. As soon as the single comes out, I really do want everybody to know. I'm going to alert folks, but that's going to be Undecided is the name of the single, and that's coming up. And anything else coming up, Honey Magpie related?
Nope, just the single January 24th, and then our album will be out sometime in April. So, yeah.
Good things are happening.
Yeah.
Thank you again. This was such a wonderful way to spend the first snowy day.
I know. The snow's just coming down.
Yeah. It's beautiful. And I can't imagine being any place more wonderful than in this cozy dining room with Rachel Hurwitz.
Oh, likewise.
I love you, Rachel.
Love you too.
So until next time, this is Laura Hurwitz from The Easy Chair. See ya.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.